Let's take a moment and pray. I know we got a lot of stuff that people are we're anxious about, stressed over, things we come in the room that is burdening us. And I want to take a moment and just pray. Ask God, obviously, to meet us in those places, to extend our cares to Him, but more importantly, God, where are you moving and how do we join you in that? How do we connect with what you're doing? Let's take a moment and pray together. Father, we're grateful for your grace and thanks for the privilege we have to gather here in this space. And Lord, across our campuses and services throughout this week, we know that you are at work. And sometimes, Lord, we get way ahead of you. We make our own plans, we do our own stuff, and then we just want you to nudge some pieces together for us. And then there's other times, Father, we're just way behind you. We don't see where you're working. We don't connect with what you're doing. And Lord, we just ask in this moment that while you invite us to cast our cares and we invite you to meet us in the middle of those things, that also, Lord, we would look to see where you're at work in our neighborhoods, our school, our workplace, whatever it might be, Father, that we might join you in what you're doing. And thank you for the ways you work ahead in our lives that so often go unnoticed by us. And so, Lord, we're just grateful. We ask you to speak into our hearts today as we gather. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Memorial Day weekend, Diane and I were getting ready to do a road trip. We were going to head over to Missouri, and we were anxious to get going. I was speaking that weekend, and so as soon as the service was done, I went off backstage, went out the door, and got in our car and took off. Because Memorial Day weekend is really kind of, there's two big deal things. Often, our anniversary falls on Memorial Day weekend, but more importantly, the Indianapolis 500. It's always on Memorial Day weekend. And I don't know what happened. I'm an Indy 500, like, fan, and I hardly ever get to see it because it starts East Coast time, and by the time, I get home, I'm watching it recorded, which stinks, watch a race like that recorded. But I get in the car, and it was still a ways to go, and so technically I wasn't watching. It was on my phone seated near my dashboard. And I got on 70, and you know when they have the yellow flags, right, where everything slows down, they clean up the track, and the pace car's taking them around and around, and then they got that green flag, it's coming, one more lap. Every time that would happen, Diane would look over and say, you're doing like 110 right now. As I was with him, man, I was leaning right into that restart. And unfortunately, since I tend to drive a little bit too much like that, I've had my fair share of opportunities to meet police officers all over the country. And, if you get pulled over, you know the stuff, right? You know the lines you start using right away, the things you say, you try to chat them up and connect, and you always use some line. If that doesn't work, you get a little tear in your eye, all the things that you do to try to avoid a ticket. And I said to the police officer, one of those tried and true lines, officer, I'm just going with the traffic. And he said, going with the traffic can get you in a lot of trouble sometimes. Here's your ticket. Man, we try to keep up, don't we? With everything around us, and here's this series we're doing. It's just 2 weeks. We're talking about a topic that personally, for me, is a bit of a painful topic. Talking about refreshing, resting. How do we do that? Because my wiring, my personality is to lean in, not to lean back. My wiring is to take on more and do more rather than to pull back. And yet there's this whole theology of rest that we find in the Bible, this invitation for us to pull back. Thursday night when our service was, during our Thursday night service, I was just had finished. I was walking backstage, and there was a little boy and his family seated down here, right here in the front. He was in the back of this front section. He was probably 6 or 7 years old. And he said loud enough for everybody in the section, plus me to hear as I was walking off, the pastor really looks stressed today. Well, the reason for that is I don't like this topic, actually, because I have to talk to the mirror way too much on this one. But God rested. Look what Genesis chapter 2 tells us. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. We get to the end of creation, and God, the all-powerful, omnipotent, that's what all-powerful, omnipotent means, all-powerful. The God of creation, the Lord of the universe, the one who Isaiah says, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. That God rested. Why? Because as we follow through the scripture, there is this invitation for us to pull away, to stop from the things that are stressing us, the things that we're leaning into, the things that we stay so busy with. And not just to take a break from those things, but to be refueled and refreshed through God. Jewish Midrash says this: on the seventh day, God created rest. He invites us to rest. We're encouraged to lean into rest. And the word there in the Hebrew that's used for rest doesn't mean simply just tired or burdened or weary or worn down. The word actually means to cease or to stop striving or to desist, actually, to just back up, to stop in the middle of what you're doing, to quit pushing, quit leaning in. The Jewish Sabbath was born out of this idea of ceasing or stop striving. Right in the middle of the Ten Commandments that we get from God, here's what God says: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and you'll do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shouldn't work, your family, your servants, your foreigners, your animals, anyone residing here. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God is doing more than saying, hey, this is just a chance for you to refuel and take a break and get so you're not quite so worn out. He is saying to you that there is something holy about resting. But we're not wired to do that, are we? It was a day, the Sabbath, was to set aside for the Jews. Today, the Jews call that Shabbat. It goes from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. They measure their day from sundown to sundown. And they weren't to do any work on those days. Now remember, we don't live under the law today. We don't live under the following that Jewish law. Jesus came to fulfill that law, to take it even further in our hearts and lives. And here's what Jesus had to say about the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus said Sabbath was made for humankind, not the other way around. That it was to be a blessing, not a burden. That it was to be set aside, not something to be ignored, but rather to be a refreshment or a refueling. But when Jesus spoke those words, he was speaking into a culture and a society. The Pharisees had taken that Sabbath day and they had made it burdensome. They had labored on. We had this one command: remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And now there were hundreds and hundreds of ways that you were to keep the Sabbath. They would define work in a lot of different ways, and it became burdensome for the people. In fact, one of the ways they defined work was this: that if you walked more than a quarter of a mile from your home, that was work. And so if they, on the Sabbath, had to make a trip across town or out of town that was further than a quarter of a mile, what they would do is the day before, they would take some things from their home and they would walk a quarter of a mile and they would place a piece of furniture, and then they would go another quarter of a mile and they'd place like a kitchen pot or utensil, and then another quarter of a mile and they would take something from their barn or their farming implements and place them there, so that they walked from home to home to home, never going further than what the Pharisees said they were doing as work. When Jesus spoke these words, he spoke them in response to this. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the ones who were supposed to be helping people stay connected to God, and yet were creating so many ways that people were disconnecting from God. They saw Jesus and his disciples walking on the Sabbath, and one of the disciples grabbed some grain, some wheat, and rolled the wheat in his fingers to crush it down to just the grain and ate that. And they said, oh, look, they're harvesting on the Sabbath. This can't possibly be from God. And Jesus, right here in the Greek, says, y'all are screwed up. You got this messed up. You have so totally taken what God had intended to be, what the Father had intended to be, a refreshment and a refueler, and you have made it burdensome. You've taken that which was good and you've made it bad. You've taken that which was supposed to be freeing and refueling, and you have made it a trap. Jesus understood our need for rest. He wasn't blasting the Sabbath. He was saying the Sabbath was made for us, not us being made to somehow be enslaved to this Sabbath. If you go back earlier in Mark, we find Jesus needing to reconnect with God. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed early. Jesus pulls away from his work and prays. Mark chapter 6, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. He said to his disciples who've been working really hard, and get some rest. The theology of rest is rooted in the scripture of not just breaking or staying back to somehow get past some weariness, but rather to reconnect and refuel and restore our hearts. But we live in a culture, I live, where I see rest as laziness. I mean, if you need a break, it's just because you're not strong enough. It's capable enough. If you need to pull back, it's just because you're really kind of lazy. Let's suppose we were walking out this morning and somebody said, you asked somebody, how are you doing? And they said to you, I am well rested. Ever heard that? And what you think when they say that is you're just a slacker. I mean, you're not well. You're just like, you must just be lazy. Fill these in for me. The early bird gets the... Yeah, man, if you get out in the morning, you get going, you work hard, you're going to be successful. No rest for the weary. And no rest for the weary. Or this one, this old one from Benjamin Franklin, way back. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man or a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. I love what Carl Sandburg said. He said, early to bed and early to rise, and you never get to meet any interesting people. That's where I land in this one. And we were under this conviction for a long time that somehow our lives would get better, simpler, if we would just learn more, be wiser, smarter. In fact, technology was going to boost. I've read studies back in the 50s and 60s that were talking about how we were going to go to a 10 or 20-hour work week because of technology, that school and work at home would be eased. There wouldn't be no real significant issues for us, that technology would make our lives so much easier. I think I shared this with you about a year ago. I saw these stats. In 2007, the average 24-hour workday for most of us in the U.S. looked this way. We slept so many hours. We worked and commuted so many hours. Survival. What they meant by survival was all those things you do, like take a shower, eat, brush your teeth, all that kind of stuff. And then the red line was social media. And the rest of the day, whatever hours were left, were personal. And in those personal hours, you got to choose. You got to choose what you did. You got to choose how they were used. And often, it was used to kind of refresh or refuel just a little bit. Some hobby or thing that you were engaged in that just helped you. A decade later, here's where we are. Same amount of sleep and working and survival, but social media has taken over all of our free time, all our screen time. All our screen time gets consumed, and I get it. I get connected on mine. The other night, I went to bed about midnight. I woke up at 2. I walked by my phone, picked it up, and 3.5 hours later, I was still answering email. I was WhatsApping with some people on the other side of the country about some stuff. I got on the other side of the world. I got stuff going. We get so busy. There is zero break for us today. We are on 24/7, 365 days a year. We are never on pause. And as a result, our lives continue to fill. We get more hectic. We're tired. We are running ragged. Are you resting? There's kind of five spheres of your life, kind of five tanks in your life, five pools in your life: spiritual, physical, emotional, intellectual, and social. And here's what I've learned through the years, that there are things that fill those pools and there are things that drain those pools. And if I'm not paying attention to the things that are draining, and if I'm not looking at what's replenishing those pools, when they drain down, I get to a place of where I'm kind of maxed out, stressed, or short-fused, all those things that create anxiety and stress in our lives. And here's what else I've learned. I could be paying attention to 3 or 4 of those. I could keep them in a right, healthy balance. I could make sure that they're filling in proper ways. But if one or more gets out of balance, even one somehow drains out, I end up being tired or stressed or worn down. We live in a 24/7, 365-day culture that is saying to us, more, more, more. And I buy into that so often because we find our value. We find our worth by being busy. I get affirmed by how busy I am or needed I am, how active I can be. So I need some help with someone. I just want to do a quick little illustration. Can I get somebody to give me a hand over here? Perfect. Thanks for volunteering. All right, I just need you to hold that glass for me. We'll stand over here. So here's this glass. It represents your life, right? This is Matt. Matt's here this week helping us out with Eagle Lake. We'll talk about that at the end of service. This is your life. It's really boring, actually. All right? I'm not saying your life, Matt. I'm just talking about this glass, okay? Yeah. I don't know. Wait, let me ask. Is his life boring? I don't know. You guys know. So, all right. So what do we do? What do we do? We put stuff in our lives, right? We got work. We put work in there. And then we got some hobbies we do. And then there's our social stuff we do. And then there's friendships and things that we do. And then we just keep pouring. We just keep adding in. You made a mess. You just keep adding into our lives, right? And here's what happens. It only takes the smallest thing. Just a little thing, not much, messes with our lives. And then what do? We pour some more stuff in there, right? We're about out of, look at that. We get our lives so messed up. Thanks, Matt. Here's what happens. I had somebody say to me 20 years ago, when your bucket gets full, Rick, it doesn't take much to jostle that bucket for stuff to spill out. And we pack our lives and pack our lives and pack our lives, and then the smallest thing, we get stressed out, we get angry, or we get frustrated, we get worn out, we get burdened, we get stuck. And God is inviting us to something different than that. Finding space in our life, creating some margin in our life. This whole biblical idea of rest was to rest in God. Psalm 46:10 says this, that real rest is anchored in God. Cease striving, be still, and know that I'm God. Same word, Shabbat. Be still. Find stillness. Find rest in God. Fourth century philosopher, theologian Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. But here's what our lack of rest is really saying about us. When I don't rest, here's what it says about me. When I'm not pulling back, when I'm pressing in all the time, here's what I'm saying. God, I don't really trust you or need you. When I get stuck, I will. But I'm going to fix this problem. I'm going to lean into this issue. I'm the one that needs to be engaged. I'm the one that needs to take on more than I should take on. I'm the one that needs to stay busy. I'm the one that's active. I'm the one that's got this under control. If you go back in that psalm, earlier in those verses, the beginning of the psalm starts this way, Psalm 46. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. He's saying, man, the world is on fire. It is in trouble. The mountains are even shaking. The seas are raging. There is trouble all around us. And he ends that psalm and he says, and in all of that, just be still. Be still and know that I'm God. It's not your job to fix the mountains. It's not your job to stop the sea from foaming. It's not your job to resolve every problem. That doesn't mean that we don't work. It doesn't mean that we don't labor. It doesn't mean that we aren't leaning into issues. It does mean that we recognize that we are wired to take a step back in the midst of all of our crazy, busy lives and to rest and refresh and connect with God. It's not wrong to get tired. It is wrong to stay tired. And if we just keep running where our lives are filled to max all the time, you and I end up in trouble. You remember, Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And here's what he says to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is inviting us to connect our lives to him, to live in this rhythm where we work hard and we lean in, but we also rest. Cease. Stop striving. not just a nap, not just a long weekend. And we're into the summer months, and I must have talked to 100 people. We're headed to the mountains to camp this weekend. I love that. I'm glad that several years ago, our elders who recognized that I'm a bit whacked on in my life about stuff said, hey, we want you to take a break where you're not preaching for 3 or 4 weekends and get a bit of a study break. And I'm grateful for that, and I'm terrible about it. I don't lean into that well. But here's the deal. When we run all the time, eventually we have nothing left to give. And we're saying to God, I don't need you, I've got this. Until all of a sudden, we don't anymore. Familiar words from the psalmist David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So what is it right now that you could be doing, that you could be leaning into to help you get some rest? What I've learned about me is that often I would just say, well, I can't rest. I've got obligations, I got bills, I got things I got to do, I got people counting on me, I got things that I've said I would do. I can't. But what I learned was I was really saying, I won't rest. I won't because I find value in being busy. I find value in being needed. I find value in accomplishing stuff. I find value in making sure my life is full. And in the midst of that, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me and rest. And this theology of rest we find in the scripture isn't just napping or a weekend away. It is resting in God and allowing him to refresh and refuel and restore our spirits. So earlier this year, we added a quiet moment into all of our services because the noise is always coming from up here and every worship service I've ever been a part of out. And we're saying, hey, we want you to have a moment where it's just between you and God. And so over this next moment, I want to ask you a question. What is it you're doing? What's the small step you could take to rest? To refresh your soul. There's going to be some scriptures that come up on the screen just to kind of give us some guidance in our thoughts. Well, what is it between you and God that you could do this week, some small thing you could do to find rest?